And as long as we are operating profitably, we will contribute to the operation, maintenance, and improvement of a recreation area around us. But only so long as we are operating profitably. Well, I think what we are talking about is, of course, a cash amount which would be given to the State Parks Department for administration in the area. Now, what they use it for, we would have no real limitations as long as our rights as mining companies are maintained and they're guaranteed. I don't think that we could wholeheartedly contribute to something that we felt in the future might endanger or curtail our operations. I think it's...
Right, I have a boundary, by the way, attached to that is a boundary description of the recreation facility. This entire area in here would be recreational zone. As with this. Well, this is the headwaters of Purchase and Peters Creek. Best of my knowledge, we don't have any mineralization extent to that. At least it would affect the surface and the recreation.
Okay, I'll give you a proposal. There's probably recreation and scenic stuff right there. My suggestion is to have a recreation on it. How do you say that if there's money on it, it's going to be that and the next one?
Well, I, of course, would like to see the mining operator, the mining laws offered. We just can't legislate where the values are going to occur.
So what you're saying is, though, that somebody can make a connection to the value of these houses.
That's correct. That's correct. And I think this would be the Commissioner of Natural Resources.
Yes, I'm Dale Bondurant, and I'm president of the Sportsman Game Preservation Association. I want to say at this time I'm not officially presenting a stand for the organization, as we have not had time to come out with a stand. I can only say as past policy, I know that they are in support of like areas of this, and we have a meeting coming up Wednesday evening, and that... we will discuss and present our official stand to the legislatures. I personally became acquainted with this area in 1947 when it was a area which you could get through to Willa from the Wasilla side. And we used to make several trips up there in the spring to see if the road was open so that we could get out of Anchorage in those days, because there weren't many roads out of Anchorage. I've also hunted in the Peters Creek and Purchase Creek areas. I think this is one of the really beautiful areas of Alaska. It's pleasant, it's available, it entails a reasonable drive from the Anchorage area. It also presents a round circular drive in which you can go in one area and come out the other. And the area has a lot to offer. It has a lot to offer the people of Anchorage and the greater Anchorage area, which does encompass one of the greatest population areas of Alaska. Several things here that people can enjoy. There's game animals. I know personally in the Peters Creek and Purchase Creek areas that used to be one of the finest moose areas there was. And there's bear in that country. And it's something that not just hunting recognizes, but all people like to see animals. Hiking, I think it's one of the finest hiking areas there is around. The present road system that gets you in there, as was presented before, gives you hiking of all different difficulties. It's pleasant and satisfying hiking too. It's open areas where just anybody can get out and enjoy the country. And of course we have the mining. And during the time that I've been in the area, why, mining has not really been a industry. It's been more of a recreation in that area. People enjoy looking and seeing the old mining camps and getting out and doing a little panning, and they enjoy it in that way. I've heard some testimony here about further study. I think now is the time for us to do something. We've seen a lot of things slip by us because we've waited too long in this country. No planning. A lot of the things have haphazardly expanded, and now's the time for us to start setting some of these areas aside for the use of the mass of the public. And there's sure a need for something like this in this Anchorage area. As far as economics, I don't think there can be any denial that recreation is and will continue to grow as far as having economic weight in all sections of the world. And Alaska is one of the last places that really has the opportunity to start right out with land that hasn't been touched before. And I think recreation and visitors and this type of thing is going to be one of the main things that make Alaska grow if we're intelligent in preserving it and having places for the public to come to. The only other thing that I'd like to address, I'd like to see an extension of this area, and if I'm right, it wouldn't be very much, and this would be along the Willow Creek area, down to and including the area around the falls. If anybody has ever visited this area, this is really something to see. Willow Creek, and this is a mention that wasn't made in the report, does support a large salmon runs. And to see these salmon at this falls, the big kings weighing 25, 30, 45 pounds trying to make it over these falls. They can't make it, but they'll, it's something that I'm sure if the population of Anchorage knew about, they'd be down there in mass, because it's really a beautiful thing to see. So I would recommend some consideration be given to extend this and protect this so that the public can have access to it. As I say, that's about all I have to say, except that I'm sure interested in seeing this bill passed and would like to see it with the emphasis on the multiple use and recreational use that it now has. That's our thank you. Well, I believe, now, like I'm not sure, I'm going to point out, but by looking at the topographic, I believe it's right here. It wouldn't be too large of an area to be extended on it. Thank you.
We're running rather late, so we might ask that after be as brief as you can, we'll first give the testimony. Our next witness is Dan Renshaw. I didn't think of it, I guess.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for monopolizing your time. My brother was unable to be here. I will submit his prepared statement and not take up your time with reading it. These are his own opinions, additionally to mine, and state some of his objections to the bill.
No, I did not. All right, fine. Is that sound?
Well, Mr. Thomas, if it's going to be recreation, that's right. There is a traditional name for that area, and this is our point. Mr. Chairman, may I make one further comment? Mr. Thomas, you asked me previously to do some clarification on the recreational zones there. I have no intent on limiting the recreational area. My outline is smaller than that of the State Division of Parks, and all I was addressing myself to is the extent of mineralization. Now, if the park is extended, there are going to be other conflicts with other mineral zones. We would be very happy with that, provided it did not carry further restriction. We do not want to be regulated by people who are not oriented to the mineral industry. And if this were administered by the State Division of Mines and Geology, we'd be tickled to death. But we would prefer not to be regulated by the Division of Parks. You'll notice I had some question marks on the earlier parts of my proposed bill. I did not. I had 2 days' notice to get this prepared. I was unable to address myself to the statutes, and that is why the question marks there. I did not know where it applied in the state laws.
Next witness, Mr. Clayton Rasmussen. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Clayton Rasmussen. I'm a mining engineer and geologist, and also a mine operator. I have a few things to say here. Some of it is repetition, but I'd like to repeat it because it does help to emphasize it. First of all, I'm against the proposal in principle itself. I feel that with as much parkland as the federal government is withdrawing, this 83 million acres plus, that we have plenty of parks that we can use without setting up separate parks strictly for state administration. I'd also like to see some development on what parks they've already set up. I feel that until they've proven themselves in this department, I think we should limit ourselves to any further withdrawals. Secondly, this is the Willow Creek Mining District, second only in low gold production in Alaska to Juneau. Your placer districts in this country, of course, produce a lot more gold, but the Willow Creek was a big producer, and the one big mine down at Juneau is the only one that exceeded the gold production in this part of the world. This would indicate to me that mining interests should have overriding values to anything, as mining provinces are extremely rare. Access to any Alaskan area is difficult, yet miners forged a road access into this area almost before there were any cars. Many ore deposits were located, some were developed, others still await discovery. None were exhausted. The reason for the long period of apathy has been economic more than anything else. Those mines that were mining up till 1942 or 1944, or some as late as 1950, had to stop because economics just didn't permit it. Federal agencies held the price of gold down to the point where it was impossible to proceed. Now that the price of gold is up again where it can be economic, I, for one, would like to see this area develop. And it would not only provide many jobs for people in that area, but also help our mineral economy of the country. This period of non-production is covered by 30 years, from 1944 to about now. It seems at this point that certain agencies are trying to harass the mining industry while there is still a very small segment devoted to this business. The mining industry is just beginning to emerge, and I think most of the panic is due to the fact that when the miners become more prolific and spread around more, that they'll have enough power to make other people take notice. This area has been and can continue to serve both recreation and mining. I'm not sure it needs formal classification, but if it does, the miners have earned the right to impose the regulations. Therefore, I think the Department of Natural Resources should impose the regulations on this. This not only because of their prior occupancy of the area, but also because of the attendant hazards due to mining that will be encountered in this area. People will be getting hurt, and the miners themselves will have to pay. In addition, I believe no attempt should be made to curtail full development of the mineral potential by limiting exploration and claim staking as the area grows and provides both employment and commodities. Now, this has been brought up before, but the status of the common or garden variety of mining claim hasn't been covered in this approach on this park here. And although the patented claims and private land have been, these common or garden variety of mining claims probably far outnumber any patented ground in the area. Just as a parting shot, I'd like to say that I believe there are very many areas that are equally suitable for recreation which would not interfere with any mining interest whatever. And I believe it would be interesting to pioneer some of these if a recreation area is desired. Patent claims, right. As long as the proof of labor is filed each year, they are valid. Yes, this is a flagrant abuse, of course, of the mining law, and any of these claims could be contested and thrown out as invalid or illegal. I think we have existing laws that will cover this situation.
I might mention that you'd like to have the Department of Natural Resources make regulations.
Yes, I believe mining being the prime value of the area, I believe they should impose a regulation, if any. Well, if necessary, go into the sub-department there.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next witness, Donald Wilcox.
Yep.
We have four other interviews.
I'll make it real short. Most everything I've wanted to say has already been said. My name is Don Wilcox. My grandfather came up in the gold rush. My father worked in the Willow Creek in the early 1900s. Topic in the old village of Connecticut going on. I'm a mining engineer, professional license number 211E. I was probably the last one up there on the hill, on Willow Creek, bringing stuff out. It just got to a spot where we couldn't make it anymore. Wages were up, gold was down. I then spent some time running a Pioneer Mining Company with coal there in the Matanuska Valley. Again, I've mined this country from pretty close to where Prairie put the flag down to Ketchikan before I had to go to work for somebody else to make a living. And the thing that I've found is that, according to the old saying, gold's where you find it. And it's kind of incomprehensible to me at this time to see the miners in some way fighting for their, I won't say rights, because apparently they don't have any rights, but fighting for their existence up there in the Willow Creek area. And that's a known gold-producing area. It has been known as such for years. The deposits are far from exhausted. And it's just kind of sad to see a fight coming on now just before the mines can possibly reopen. I endorse Mr. Rasmussen's point of view that, federal government's going to put a lot of parks up there. I might suggest that there are other places where recreation would be equally as valuable without interfering with perhaps one of the Alaska's basic industries. We all have our eyes now on the pipeline. The pipeline will come, but still we have our basic industries to develop. Mining's one of them. I would certainly endorse Mr. Renshaw's position as a fallback position, but my main question is, why are we drawing a line here between the miners and the people with recreation? When I was up in the area, we didn't seem to have any trouble with people coming through and using recreation as an excuse to steal stuff. I remember one time I parked my skis about halfway up and I came back and they were gone. It was a long walk through deep snow. This is a part of the problem of a joint use of recreation and mining. As I say, most everything I'm going to say has been said, and I thank you. Well, this I'm happy to hear. Sometimes I look at the legislature and wonder if everybody shares your opinion. Well, I most certainly hope so. I think we're all working toward the same end. It's just a question of how we're going to accomplish it. Well, we if they can build roads in Juneau, they can sure build them up around there. I went to high school in Juneau. I go by there every now and then and take a look at my old hometown. Well, that's kind of
there's a lot more improvements in 18 years. And you can drive over that with a pickup camper or something. Very easily.
Yeah, you can, but it's still a dangerous road in that it's got a lot of hairpin turns, and there's always some yahoo coming down there just to see how fast his car will go, and a big old camper trying to stay out of his way. I've been in that position.
I think one of the things we're about to add is this morning, but from the director of the park. We have only contacts that are mostly used. And the problem, I think, is that people are equating with the park contacts. And this makes it very difficult, and I can understand the concern of not that the concept of parks is bad, but maybe it is in relationship to mining. Obviously, it is. But in many cases, they're not compatible. We're talking about mostly used.
Well, I would hope you're talking about multiple uses. It's broader sense. But then the question comes, if we're talking about multiple use, why not have one multiple use bill that will cover the whole state of Alaska, perhaps, instead of singling out one area or two areas? This is true. This is true, and I recognize it. But again, I go back to the basic premise that there are very few areas in Alaska that are known for good mineral production. And they can't be moved. They're there.
I might just mention that these uses, of course, are going on right now. We all recognize that. We need to preserve them. At the same time,
But you've got other areas, say they're around Eklutna Lake, back up in through there, in addition to your park all down around Elias and so on, that also have very unique areas. And you get up in the areas, I know you've done and I've done, and fly over them, and it's beautiful. You really can't say any one part's better than the other. You're welcome, thank you.
I'd like to mention to the group that Representative Bill Parker from Anchorage, who's also a member of the House Resource Committee at this joint. Our next witness is Helen Niehauser.
My name is Helen Niehauser. I'm speaking today for myself, though I'm a member of a number of outdoor groups and conservation groups, which I'm sure support the establishment of the Hatcher Pass Recreation Area. I have lived in Alaska for 15 years and have used the area extensively for recreation both summer and winter. I am the author of the hiking guide for South Central Alaska, 55 Ways to the Wilderness, which includes several trips in this area. I strongly support the establishment of the Hatcher Pass Recreation Area. I believe that generally the boundary in the committee substitute version are superior to those in the earlier bill because it follows the ridgetops and includes whole drainages rather than artificially cutting across them. However, the southern boundary, I believe, should be brought down to the yellow line shown faintly on the Division of Parks map so as to include some forested land of lower elevation and to increase accessibility to the recreation area. I object to the zone suggested in the committee substitute bill, the area designated as Zone 1, where mining is to be recognized as the highest and best use, is extremely valuable recreation area and is the area where most of the recreational use now takes place. I suggest the language in the committee substitute bill, section 412370, be modified to drop section A1 and change section A2 to read, within this area, public recreation and scenic preservation are recognized as the highest and best uses, and any other development may be undertaken only in a manner that is compatible with such values. I am, of course, aware that mining is a historical use of the area and believe it should be permitted to occur again when and if it becomes economically feasible. But I really question that mining is any longer the highest and best use of any part of this area. There has been no mining activity there for 30 years, yet recreational use has been growing fantastically. There is no doubt that the recreational pressure will continue. I think there is considerable doubt that mining will ever again take place on a large scale. I believe that recreation and scenic values are the highest and best use of this entire area, and that mining and any other development should take place only in a manner compatible with recreation and scenic values. The 80 million acres are all remote from Anchorage. Recreational areas close to home, accessible on the weekend, are vitally necessary for this population area. While I believe it is wrong to give mining priority in any part of this area, I also think that if you and your political wisdom believe it's the only way to get this bill passed, I would prefer it than no bill. Regarding recreational use, I support the separation of cross-country skiing and snow machining, but believe that the zoning suggested in the Division of Parks study report is preferable to that on the blue sheet. The study report uses the Hatcher Pass Road as a dividing line up to Independence Mine, which I think is a fairer and more equitable division of the area. There is widespread support among the membership of outdoor groups and conservation organizations for this proposal. However, the timing of this hearing is such that many of those who support the proposal are not available to testify. A large number of them, over 500 people, are on a Nordic Ski Club train trip to Grandview today. Miners may not be affected by a weekend hearing, but skiers, hikers, climbers, and snowmobilers are. I also do not think there was adequate publicity on this hearing. We at the Alaska Center for the Environment were not aware of the hearing till late yesterday afternoon, and I'm sure this was true for many. I never saw the newspaper articles. I would suggest that ads for several days on the second and third pages of both papers would be helpful. Thank you. Meanhauser. Well, there's some 1,800 in that group, but there's some 500 of them on the train trip today. I don't know if they have taken a position on it. I'm fairly sure they were not aware of a hearing taking place today. I could guess from their past position that they would be in support of this, but I don't know if they've officially taken it. Well, we appreciate having the hearing in Anchorage. I went last week. Well, I do appreciate your holding a hearing in Anchorage. I just wish that we could have known about it earlier and that it were possible to have it on a weekend.
My name, for the record, is Robert Merrill, and in the overall scope, I think I'm a little bit limited and narrow in what I have to say. I own property up there. My friend back there and I have two contiguous 160-acre plots that are on Francie Creek and up to and beyond Shorty Creek. And I've been rather interested in several things that have been said today, especially the interest of the mining claims. I lived there year-round from May of 1960 until May of 1964. The whole family did. And then we use it all the time. In fact, my son is living up there at the present time and has lived there all winter. I wish some of these people that were so interested were there to help us out of the snowdrifts a couple of times during that period of time. We didn't see much of them. What I'm primarily concerned with, I didn't know about this until I read it in the paper the other day, and the paper said it was 2:30, and I see now it's 1:30 or some such thing. It states in the bill, I believe, that they can buy the property that's privately owned. Is this the intent? What can we expect to do with our property that's in there? What is our future? Are they going to buy it away from us, or can we start negotiating, or should we just back off on it? Also, you have a lot of questions that you've been asking people regarding the road. I can tell you all kinds of things about that road. It's a lot better than what it used to be. It's a lot wider than what it used to be. You can get in and out of it almost all times, except on a year like this one, where we didn't have any snowfall to stop glaciation from forming. It's been a bit of a problem this year. We've had two of those years that I know of since 1959. The mining roads, sure, that road was originally a mining road. They built it out of riprap, various and sundry things. Most of that has been taken out by the state. It's been replaced with new fill from the creek bed. Drainage ditches have been dug. Culverts have been put in. There's been considerable work done on that road. The only place where the road could be considered one-lane road is strictly up on top of the passes. We used to drive that back and forth going to work, and made very good time. Of course, we knew every bump and curve in it. But to make this short, unless you have specific questions on that, my main problem is, what are we going to have happen to our land that we do have patent on in the property, in the park boundaries? And what, if it is not going to be taken, that is, purchased from us, is going to be done to help us protect our property? I'm not going to burden you with the various stories I have of what has happened to it already, a tremendous amount of damage and things that have occurred to it. And when this is opened up even further, why, I don't know, it would probably be better to burn it down and forget about it.
Mayor, I apologize for the confusion in the paper.
That's unimportant.
Mr. Smith gave a brief statement at the beginning of our hearing, and said to you, enlighten Mr. Merrill on what the department is thinking in terms of inwoners, what about the situation, 150 acres.
In general, our policy is to acquire inwoners, but as a long-term practice to avoid future problems. This is
I'm an inholder?
Okay,
well, I was wanting to clarify a terminology.
Of course, this is always subject to lots of ifs. The big one being money. There's no money appropriated to apply. There are some places, some locations, where we probably wouldn't have a problem with the But in general, we would anticipate buying it, or alternatively, if there were no development, we'd probably continue to just like this side. The thing we're most concerned about is if you have a development on private land, here, homes,
We own both sides of the road, both sides of the creek, from the entrance of Francie Creek on up beyond Shorty Creek. Find it right about where your middle finger is. Oh, yeah, there's, okay. Yeah, okay. That's the other map that I was. Right, and that's right. Both sides of the road, both sides of the creek. It has been improved. That is, we have homes on it that we use, as I said. Well, we lived in it continuously for 4 years, and we use it for summer use, and then the kids are up there now, and they're going to live continuously up there for a while to get away from city life. Then we can consider it as ours, in all probability.
I don't have the individual number. There are altogether about 5,000 acres of the map in the patent mining zone located in that mineralized zone. Individual property owners outside of that, I would think it's probably not more than half acres.
By looking at the map, I could show you just who and where. Very few up in there. There's a 5-acre tract right below me, and then there's a couple of small pieces down below that are still, that have gone in patent. But the biggest part of it, although at the end of the year 1960, everything was filed on, most of it reverted. They dropped it. What are you offering? Well, you see, that's when he started saying money appropriated. There was also one other question that flashed through my mind. Was the money appropriated going to be enough? I have thoughts on the matter. We have ideas of what, because that is undoubtedly one of the most beautiful recreational sites there is in the country. We've preached that all along. It's the only place that you can drive to from Anchorage and see the scenery that is available there. Has of some, one of the other people mentioned, the fact that you don't have to return on the same trail, you can go back out and make a loop. It should be utilized. It shouldn't be allowed to go to waste. And, pardon? No, I'll let them not.
It's a
I thought I read a quick clause back in there that, said there was a place somewhere in there. I just had a chance to glance over these when I came in. I didn't even know the papers were available. That couldn't be declared or wouldn't be declared public domain taken away from you. Or eminent domain, yeah. Mm-mm. No way. There is a big question right there. There is no way possible to establish a fair market value for that type of land up there because there is no other land compatible or comparable. The land that's sold down below our place, down below the Willow Creek Bridge, for instance, that land, for anybody that owns it, they have gotten the land so they can go up and see the land that we own. We're right where they want to go. Nobody else owns any land. Nobody else has ever sold any land. Nobody else can sell any land or own any land, so there is no way of establishing what my land is because something down in Willow sold for a certain price. We recognized this a long time ago as being a recreational area. That's what we wanted the land for. Excuse me, there's one thing there you got to consider. We put a lot of time, money, and effort in getting that free land. In fact, I suffered an accident up there that ultimately resulted in the loss of my leg. Now, I would like to realize a little something off of our investment up there. I would like to be able to sell at least a parcel of that land so that I could have a chance to enjoy the money from it while I'm still somewhat able to. 5 or 10 years from now, it may be too late for me. Kids would enjoy it, but I wouldn't. I'm going to give them whatever's left over. There's a dime they can split it between them. Anyhow, if we leave this in a sort of a limbo state as far as what the future of the land is, as whether they're going to buy it, whether they're not going to buy it, whether we can use it, what we can use it for, then how do I have any possibility of selling anything? Because the minute a possible purchaser finds all this out, he backs off quickly. Some people interested in a little piece of ground here that they want to put up some kind of a resort area, something of this sort, and they find out there's all these little hanger-oners, and there goes another good chance out there, you see. That's the one I saw.
Any other questions?
Ask me about the road. You're asking others about the road. You want to know about the road? Oh, incidentally, there was in that brochure, this one here, where they said they didn't have any weather or conditions of that sort except for what was over in Independence. Qualified weather observer kept complete
records for 4 years up there, not only what happened up there, but comparative figures with what happened in Anchorage, snow measurements, rainfall, temperatures, everything like that. I still have them in case anybody ever needs them. Okay. Is that known as plea bargaining? Okay, bye. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Metz, I understand you would like to testify. If anyone else would like to testify, all right. Mr. Metz,
I'm Hans Metz, resident for the last 15 years in Anchorage, and had a ski school here in Anchorage. And the reason why I'm like to testify is to represent a little bit also the downhill skier. Till now, everybody was talking about cross-country hiking, and of course mining, but downhill skiing, which is one of the biggest sport, one of the fastest growing sports in the whole United States, was up to now not even represented today. And when you look backward 10 or 15 years ago, skiing was just very little. We didn't have Alyeska, just a small area up at Arctic Valley. Now, with Alyeska, it's quite a good area. However, Alyeska has a few problems like avalanches and a few other ones, but as a ski area, it's real good. Now, with this south slopes, I'm not talking about the Independence Mine area, but especially the south slopes are one of the best areas where could be developed. They have the access, the road is right there, which as an area as such could be better than almost any ski areas in the United States. And the reason is that the most areas in the United States are controlled by Forest Service. In the most areas, all what you have is trail skiing, while the south slopes would be almost completely above timberline, open skiing. You can't find it at all, except it's one area in the Grand Tetons. But this great open skiing, what people or skiers like to, is just not available. And it here is one chance. The area is available. It is one of the best areas what you even can find. Yeah? And I don't think the skiing even would interfere with mining or anything else, because in the summertime skiers are not out there. Yeah? And like Anchorage, a center of right in the middle between Europe and Japan, they could get quite a bit of traffic from both sides. Okay? Right now, with the money situation, the Europeans are more interested to go to foreign countries to skiing. They want to see something else. The Japanese are already coming over to ski. It could be developed, and it would be a big revenue, not only for the states, it would be a big revenue for the Susitna Borough. Yeah? And if it's handled right, and I think it should be taken in consideration. I think the park would be the biggest help, because this area is so close to the population. If it's too far out, the skiers or the people just don't drive 250 miles or 150 miles because it's too far. Especially in Alaska, the short daylight in the wintertime, you have to take advantage of. And this way, you would be there within 1 hour and you could ski the full daylight, yeah, and be back. But any on the ski area, to build a road in there, I even don't have to mention how much it would cost. That's completely out of the question. Yeah? I don't know how much it would cost to build a 1 mile road. But you wouldn't have to build 1 mile road, you may have to build 50 and 100 miles of a road. Okay? And then you still wouldn't have the backing, because people just don't drive that much. No, I was not prepared to testify, and I was not coming to testify, but I think it should be mentioned too. I also would like that my friend Ludwig Forcher would like to talk a few words about similar, recreation generally.
I think it's important to find out what small recreation
structures
made
of this. Okay.
Chairman, my name is Dick Currington. I have 6 placer claims up on the left limit of Willow Creek, on just below Wet Gulch. I notice here, and I haven't had time to go over the bill itself, I was only recently notified of the hearings through the Alaska Miners Association. I got that in the mail the other day. It states in here that mining activities outside the mineralized zone designated area would be permitted if it was done in a manner compatible with recreation use. Who is going to determine whether my ground is compatible to this recreation use? Yes, sir.
I think the regulations for the legal department is the legal park.
Well, sir, I am all for recognizing the outdoor enthusiast, but 2 years ago when I was up working on my claims, some of these outdoor enthusiasts, while I was across the creek, broke into my car and stole all the contents. Now, the car was locked up and broke the window. I don't dare take any equipment up there and leave it, because they don't recognize mining posts. I've seen four-wheel drive vehicles driving around up there, tearing up the terrain without any consideration of the miners. And I do feel that because the state is delegating this or designating this a recreational area, then what you are doing, you are imposing public nuisance and public hazards on the miners. Well, I hope not, sir. Currington, Currington. I might add that I first came to this country and saw Anchorage in 1942 when the town was just a pup, and so was I. So I have been here a few years. I would like to know, though, if they do declare my ground and operation incompatible to recreational use, then what do I do? Well, I'm not concerned about your compensation or anything else. I'd just like to be left alone to go ahead and try and develop these claims. That's not my intent or purpose, to try to get money out of the state for any ground. I would like the state to just leave me alone and let me do my work. I don't want to be strangled by regulation or dictatorial-type methods.
My name is Ludwig Forcher, and Ferthe, F-E-R-T-H-E. I'm not prepared to testify, but I just represent myself, and I want to continue from Mr. Metz and represent the downhill sphere. We have studied a large portion of the state for a future possible additional ski area, since the existing ones don't have much expanding possibility. And we found that a portion of this recreation area is one of the most suitable areas for downhill skiing in the state, for slopes as well as accessibility, since it's close to especially an international airport. And one of the main points I wanted to stress from the economical side, that recreation, and especially skiing, is becoming one of the greatest sports in the Northern Hemisphere, and it will be a great economical boom in the near future. And it might, in the next, over a long period of time, can compete as well as revenue source to mining or other uses of the area. The area we found is most usable for downhill skiing is not in conflict with mining or any other use. But I would like to recommend that the study that has been done maybe is considered as the zoning in the area. I don't think was quite prepared by a group that does justice to the terrain and so on. I'm looking at this map here, especially for snow machine area. A large portion of the yellow on the southern portion, especially government peak area, is, I would consider anybody that studies the area is not usable, so that is much too steep. And I also feel, we heard large testimony on the mining interest, that there is outside of Thief Park Line, especially towards the north, is a tremendous recreation possibility, and I feel one probably should have further studies for the boundaries on that park. One probably could exchange some, add to the north and northeast especially, which is, I have flown in the area and we have conducted ski tours in the area over the ridge. And on the north slope there's scenic values that by far exceed the area that have mining interest. So I would recommend that possibly one could do further study by more people that are more familiar with the area. And we're glad to help on any future plans, because we feel we know the area very well. Or from a conservation standpoint, which we also are, but and the miner standpoint, and the recreation, the mechanized recreation. I think the plan that exists now does not fully compensate for all the possibilities. Yes, extensively.
And I suppose you know by Senator
Bell. Right, correct. And, well, I'm also, I may say that I have experience from Europe. I grew up in Austria, and I was part on several ski development studies and planning. And we have studied the potential. But we're also strong conservationists, and we feel that this area would be most compatible with mechanized recreation, since due to the mining interest, it already has been, from a conservation standpoint, damaged of its original value against in the south slopes of McKinley, there are more, much more virgin, and it would lend itself much more to a recreation not mechanized. Also, the climatical conditions up there, you have much more severe wind conditions up in that area. And furthermore, as Metz pointed out, the transportation is, number one, extremely expensive, and number two, time-consuming, which is not necessary.
I just want to say one thing. Can you have your name, please? Carl Williter. I know this boy too. He's up to my place. We have some property. I had talked with you on the phone. I was a friend of Howard Graves. And we have some land up in the Hatchet Pass area, just down below Independence Mine. We filed several proposals with the state for a couple of chairlifts in the area. I wanted to go on record as favoring the bill. I think it's the greatest thing that's come about. And I think that we've got a tailor this thing that fits the mining interest so that we can get it passed at this session. I think this is the only way to get the land classified first, and then we can get some action on the road. Because if we don't get it classified, it's still going to be a big blank with the highway department as far as any money appropriations are concerned. And this has been the big hang-up as far as getting a ski area going up there has been that lousy road. And every time I call that Bruce Campbell, we just run into a big bunch of static with him, you know. Last time I talked with him, he says, I suppose you want to plow that road. You want me to plow that road for you so you can race a snow machine on it. I says, I'm not a snow machiner. He says, what are you? I says, I'm a skier. He says, well, at least we got something in common. The road got plowed, and then 2 weeks later, he said there was an energy crisis. He couldn't plow it. They had to take a 10% reduction in their fuel costs. Yeah. But listen, we've got 9 months of snow up in that place, and this is what it should be. It should be some type of a ski area, recreation. And we've got to bring the mines in and work it all out. Something's got to be done. I know we can do it. By the way, I might mention this now. In this area, we're up against some real strict sanitation problems with the health department. We're going to have to be operating on a system similar to what Arctic Valley's using, a containerized system for the sewage, where everything goes into a tank, and we're going to have to take everything down to town. They won't let us put anything into the ground. And this is going to limit the growth in the area. I don't think you're going to see any huge developments up there in ski areas. It's going to be a nice, simple ski area. In fact, I think we've come to eliminate the idea of serving alcoholic beverages or anything like this, keeping it real simple. And this is the way that you can keep it going.
Well, my name is Rob Rutherford, and I'm an engineering geologist. I'm a homesteader, or I should say I own a homestead in the concerned area, and I'm also a skier, so I'm a fence sitter. But I have two main points of concern, and that's that I feel that the boundaries of this area should be very critically reviewed so that, for instance, the private homeowner who may be on the fringes, which I happen to be one, could very well be included or excluded at the whatever the case may be. And I think that in my case, I'm really not sure where the property will be located, whether it's on one side of the orange or the yellow line or whatever the final agreement is made. And I also sympathize with the miners, and I feel that their area should be critically reviewed so that their boundaries are in as good agreement as they possibly can be with them. And the third thing that I had was that the ruling on the use of private land be clarified after that land is incorporated into the park. In other words, as a private homeowner there, or landowner, what can I do with my property after it's, may I subdivide or may I not? And I think my feelings on this bill would be very much contingent on that clarification. That's all I...
Point of clarification, I think that it could be a phrase of fact that if it were put into a recreational area, you still become subject to the borough, which puts them under planning and zoning, which maybe in effect could restrict your ability to subdivide your land or sell.
Mm-hmm.
But this is always the case in any municipality that happens.
Well,
thank you very much. I think the testimony has been very enlightening. If you have a question.
Just a comment, you know, this gentleman over here said health, education, and welfare wouldn't let them put anything into the ground. Here's another regulation of the regulatory agency won't let the miners take anything out. A new complexion problem there.
Yeah, please.
Please give
us
your name.
Bye,
Mikey.
Mikey? Yes. I was born here 52 years ago. I still want to know where the heck I'm going. I used to work in mines and all that. But still, I'm going. Thank you.
Thank you. We really do appreciate the turnout. The turnout in Palmer was just as good. I think we've got to get the cross-section of comments, pro and con, which the committee is certainly going to have to review.